Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there, and the wrong one died, and the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the cast catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and it is July of 2022, and I was recently at Broadway Con here in New York City. The Broadway Podcast Network put on some incredible programming, and I was very honored to be one of the shows that recorded live at the event. I had some amazing guests join me, and we had a cats debate in front of a live audience. So what you're going to hear is live from Broadway Con 2022. I hope you enjoy this episode.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I am Mike Abrams. I host this wonderful podcast where we talk about why Grizabella is the wrong Jellicle choice. So today we have some wonderful guests. I'm going to have them introduce themselves. So I'd love to hear who you are, your theater connection, and then I'd love to hear the first time that you saw Cats.
I guess I'll go first. Go first. So, hey everyone, my name is Zach Bravo. I'm an actor. I recently just finished the 2021-2022 national tour of Cats as Rum Tum Tugger, I'm really honored to be a part of this podcast today.
Awesome. Yeah. When was the first time you saw
Cats? Oh, the first time I saw it, I was like about 10 or 11, and that was really weird for me to watch at 10 and 11.
Hey, I'm Zach Raffio. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Broadway Beat, which is a theater satire site. The first time I saw Cats, I was 14. It was a youth production in my hometown. And one of my best friends, Georgie Simon, was Grizabella. And at intermission, I asked an adult at the table next to us, what is this about? Yeah. And I like cats a lot.
Well, I'm Jesse McNally, and Andrew might as well go together.
Oh yeah, I'm Andrew. We're both from Musicals with
Cheese. Yes, and I think we watched Cats for the first time together for content, where we watched the whole 3-hour pro shot together. Yeah. But you also saw the movie and the national tour.
I watched the movie on Christmas Eve when that opened, and then I went to see the national tour when it came to Schenectady.
A Christmas gift for you, for sure.
So, oh wait, you. I might have seen
this
you.
This past time?
I believe so.
Oh, that's where I finished.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was that the, oh man, what is that?
That was around May.
Proctor's?
Yeah, Proctor's.
Yeah.
Oh, all well, right, so I might have waved at you or shaken
sure
my
you
ass.
I'm sure you did. I was on the balcony, so.
Oh, I definitely was shaking at you.
Only you.
Yeah, yes,
it was
for you.
It was me. It was for me.
Yeah, that's the way Tugger works. It's individualized for you.
Yeah,
for
sure. Shut the door, everybody out.
For you.
Specifically.
All right, so here's how we're going to do this since we're live. I have a handful of the cats. So not all of them. I made it a little easier. I didn't put Peter or Baby Grizz or any of the like challenging ones. So I'm going to put them in my hat here, and we're going to draw, and then you are going to defend this particular choice for the Heaviside Layer. And I also love the idea of having you also argue against each other. So whoever is defending, if you disagree, chime in and tell them why they're wrong. That's what I do all the time. So so we're going to pull a cat out of the hat, and each person is going to get who you have. And after you do it, show who you get.
Oh, boy.
Got to do it. We're audio-based. We need to get that.
Get
this is an easy one.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
All right. The ASMR.
Okay. Do I get to keep the hat?
No, oh. I pass it back because I'm going to take the other two.
Okay, that's fair.
I will say, if you're extremely unhappy, there are two more, and we can do some trades here.
Oh no!
I feel like you gotta be prepared for that.
I kind of knew this was happening.
Yeah, this was not planned.
Rigged.
Good timing rigged. There. Well, rigged. Here, do you feel good about that? Or do you?
Oh
want
yeah,
to
I'm good.
You ready to go?
This is good.
All right. Oh, I got two of the better choices here. All right, who wants to go first? Is anybody passionate about their drawing?
I'll sort of start, because I got the one I wanted.
Oh!
Which is crazy. Which is Jenny Annie Dots. Her kind of shtick, and why I think that she's separate from the others, is that all day long, she doesn't do anything. She's very, very lazy. She sleeps. And then at night, she's like, I got to catch up, and I got to make up for the whole day. She's very, very active. And I find a sort of kinship with that. And I think that sort of productivity speaks to everyone. And I think that makes her the people's cat. So in many ways, the people's cat should be the one to die or come back to life.
Or the Jellicle's cat.
The Jellicle's cat, yeah. Jellicle's cat. I feel weird being like, I like this cat and that's why she should die. But you all know what I mean. So Jenny Annie Dots, she's you, she's me, she's coming back to life, baby.
Awesome. All right.
Okay.
Do we have any counterpoints here?
Who will train the mice?
Yeah. What I was going to ask that.
I'll do it.
You're going to do it?
How did you just become blessed as a Jellicle, like, immediately here?
Okay. What's your third name that you think about?
Oh, man. I didn't think this joke through. I didn't think there'd be so much follow-up.
It's a difficult matter.
We're a debate podcast.
I'll take care of the mice. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay. I know a guy.
Fair enough.
All right. So 50% of the time you're doing nothing, and then the other 50% you're so good that you're the choice.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I personally benefit from spacing that out more, but it's where I'm at right now.
Love
I respect Jenny for that.
Love it. All right, who wants to go next?
You seem to be pretty confident in yours.
I'll go. I think this is an easy one. I have Old Deuteronomy. And, I mean, it's in his name. He's old. It's time to hang up the coat, you know? He gets kidnapped. I mean, he's been through a lot.
No, he gets skinned.
He gets skinned alive and gets it back somehow.
Yeah.
I think it's time to hang it up. He's going to nominate himself for the choice and hand it off to someone else to make the choice next year, you know?
Old Deuteronomy is too selfish to do that, and here's why. he would not do that by any means. He loves his job too much. If anything, well, he's not in the pile, but Gus would definitely be a good choice. I'm not defending him just yet, but, like, for Gus, I would be like, he would be a good choice. Old Deuteronomy is like...
See, but he's traumatized.
From what? For getting skinned once?
Have you been skinned more than once?
Give it a week.
I feel like this happens multiple times, because, I mean, the McCavity has a reputation.
Yeah.
I mean,
every human law.
Who's to say McCavity didn't have that the last time that Old Deuteronomy was before he... I'm sure Old Deuteronomy has gone through the Heaviside Lair, but as the same guy the entire time. Who's to say McCavity hasn't had that as a trophy?
Maybe, but...
It's also irresponsible to say that Deuteronomy's trauma is any more important than any of the other cats.
That's true, but let's also think about this, right? The whole point here is that he made the wrong choice. So if he makes the wrong choice, maybe it's time to hang it up.
Do you think Monkus Trap actually decides it's his time? Because that's who's next in line, right?
I think it would be a debate between Rum Tum Tugger and Monkus Trap. I think Rum Tum Tugger is like the underdog that might...
We're not going by.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
I like how your answer was just, that's none of my business. So
am I going to defend
my
choice?
Yeah, go for it.
I think Mr. Mistopheles should have been the choice because he saves Old Deuteronomy. I feel like at that point there should be a give and take there. Mm-hmm. Like, you stopped me from being skinned through the power of cat magic. you are the Jellicle choice. Even the movie lent into that a lot more. Where I'm like, this is obviously the Jellicle choice, and then Jennifer Hudson's going to come in and just steal it for no reason. As far as a narrative makes sense, if Mistopheles got chosen, it would make narrative sense.
I do love the, like, it's the quid pro quo version here. What yeah. You're saying. When I saw the show the first time, I thought Skimbleshanks was bribing old Deuteronomy when he hands him the ticket.
Yeah.
So that was my argument. Mm. He's clearly trying to get his way in. And since I'm holding Skimbleshanks, that's my argument, is he's bribed his way through this.
Basically, both have the same argument, where he uses trains and he uses dark magic.
Yeah. The dark magic's kind of got you there.
Yeah, the dark... he unskinned him.
He unskinned him, he saved him.
Yeah, from McCavity, who just is kind of not a problem anymore now. Yeah.
So, as old Deuteronomy, how do you feel about that?
I think that would make sense. The other thing that would make sense, though, would be old Deuteronomy gives it up and then hands it off
to Mr. Mistopheles. I see that argument.
Or Tugger.
Or Monkestrap, who's supposed to be next, right?
Well, Monkestrap is not in the pile right now. I want to hear the defense for Tugger right
Well,
now.
For Tugger, well, I mean, it was his idea to bring out Mistopheles to begin with. Of course, like, that moment where Tugger is like, okay, I actually want to help the tribe. Like I'm going to stop shimming for a second and just be like, let's be serious. I think I know a way for us to get...
Tugger's just trying to get rid of his ex and get him to be the...
Tugger would never get rid of Mistopheles like that. Never.
They seem like they want us to.
All right, Tugophiles 101. No, he just wouldn't have... No, he wouldn't do that to Mistel like that.
See, I believe that they're exes and they're destined to get back together, and that was it.
That sounds like a really toxic relationship in my book.
It is Tugger, though.
Yeah, he's not...
Stay toxic, my friends. No. I'm really close to how their dynamics work, and I just don't see that. I think Tugger would definitely, I think because of how he reacts to how the rest of the Jellicles are when Old Dew leaves, that gives him an idea that something changes within him when it's like, okay, now I can't be the lone wolf. I got to be a part of the tribe now. And I think that is, that should be rewarded in a way. I think so.
So you caused chaos for 2 hours and 20 minutes worth of show.
Well, okay.
But you've got this moment where you have your aha is there.
It's like Tony Stark in any movie. I'm going to ruin everything, then save it at the last minute and be the hero.
You know who's not causing any chaos? Who's mostly just napping? She's pretty much staying out of it until nighttime, and then you go to sleep and she takes care of your business. And I honor you.
Awesome.
That's important.
That's fair.
All right. What do you all, as this panel, think about Gus? Because nobody got to take the most common answer for the Jellicle choice that's not Grisabella.
Oh, Gus was in there.
Gus is in here, yeah.
Oh.
The thing about Gus is, I'm stealing an argument Andrew made earlier. Yeah, he's old. His paws got palsy. But he gets the strength to, like, come on and be what he used to be for a brief moment. And that's great. We shouldn't take that away from him yet. A lot of people are like the eugenics. I'm like, he's too old. Throw him to the anti-side layer. But no, he's got a lot of oomph in him still.
Do you think he makes it to next year?
I do. Sincerely.
And he's still performing, too.
He might be a little blinder and a little bit weaker, but he's going to do great. And he's going to perform while he's at it.
All right. We're going to keep going here, but I want to hear from all of you. If you are old Deuteronomy, put your old Deuteronomy hat on. What is your criteria? literally, put your old Deuteronomy. What is your criteria to make... Let's not say this year's choice. I want to hear next year's choice.
Okay.
So how are you choosing next year for, let's say, Grisabella is now out of the picture. How are you picking next year? Not who are you picking, how are you picking? What's your criteria?
I think the clock starts now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching everything you all do from here to next year's choice and really just gathering my data. I'm not basing it on anything they've done in the past. It's really just from today through then.
That's good. I do have a sincere cat's question that maybe folks that know it a little better than I. for the Jellicle Ball, are these people, is it like a special occasion where they don't see each other very often, or do they just hang out a bunch throughout the rest of the year? And the Jellicle Ball is just a nice time.
Well, the Jellicle Ball is an orgy. So
yes, yeah.
I do think that they hang out throughout
okay.
the year.
All right.
Or that makes that whole premise a lot
well,
stranger.
Well, I mean, I think some of them don't, though. Like
Skimble's on the train.
He's on the train and, the yeah. whole time. I feel like they don't see him.
Yeah. Zach, you looked ready to jump in there with a different opinion.
Oh, no. I don't have a different opinion. It like you're very correct. It is an orgy. It is to an extent. I try not to think about it that way. But you know, I see Plato lifting up Victoria. I'm like, and we're all crawling up to this circle. I'm like, yeah, this is an orgy. But it's a fun one. I'm gonna move on. But
better than any orgy I've been to.
But no, I don't know. Like, well, as far as criteria, I would actually judge their actions from the past instead of like the time is now. Although I do like your argument there. I would definitely take it like, oh, like, okay, let's see where you left off from then. And see where you are now into the next year. And if they had changed in any sort of way, like Tugger, for instance, then I would probably be like, yeah, sure, you could go.
All right. So it's basically how you have acted throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that confused it, because then you're changing your criteria from the previous year, where Grisabella sat at the start and sat at the end.
Yeah, I'm flipping.
Well,
it.
I was a different old dude back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you change every year.
So you changed.
Yeah.
Getting skinned alive changed you.
Why not? Yeah.
So maybe you get the choice.
How did you make last year's? How did you make last year's choice then?
I got interrupted. I got interrupted because Grizz just came in. If anything, like at that moment, I would have chose Skimbleshanks. I feel like he would have been a really good. A perfect candidate to go to the Heaviside Lair.
I mean, is Santa still judging me for last year when he makes this year's decision?
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Drop the mic right there.
I don't know. I feel like you just got to do it beat by beat.
So, yeah, just every year, different choice, different criteria.
So next year, it very well could have been McCavity, because if we're starting over, he just
McCavity's not a Jellicle cat, though.
He's not a dear little cat?
No, I don't think so.
Ooh, I don't know that.
Any thoughts? Is McCavity a Jellicle or not a Jellicle?
Wow. He's not. He doesn't qualify. That's why he's trying to steal his way in.
Even the audience is torn
here. Know, yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
So wait, are you saying like McCavity like renowned himself as a Jellicle cat? Because I think he's a Jellicle cat.
I thought he was a Jellicle cat.
Yeah, who said he wasn't?
He did.
Heard
him.
It might be like, you know, when you get like a service animal and you can like print out the thing if you need to.
Yeah.
It's like, I think if they went and checked the database, maybe they'd see that he's not. But for all intents and purposes, he's getting on the plane.
Like he's a cat, but he's not a Jellicle cat.
Right.
Like he's not invited to the Jellicle Ball, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. I see. I yeah.
Well, so neither was Grisabella.
Grisabella wasn't a Jellicle cat either.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh, I thought she was like whining about not being able to let in or touch nobody.
If she crashed the party and then got selected, there would be riots. Yeah. I'd be furious.
I will say the movie implies that is what is happening.
Yeah, she just kind of.
I think she does crash the party. That's how I always interpreted it.
Other people just don't seem to like her.
It seems like she gets invited back in. She like crashes and then gets welcomed.
That she became a Jellicle again, and that's why they picked her.
Is that the new life that begins again, becoming a Jellicle and then dying?
Well, so there's some interesting pieces of that. That's where the potential baby Grizz comes in. So there's a Baby Grizz, which dances the opening number.
Yes.
Which I think is just a body to dance, but they're named Baby Grizz, so it could be foreshadowing her reincarnation.
My theory with that is that, like, when we see Baby Grizz in the beginning and then we see, like, Grizz at her worst, is, like, the Jellicle Cats don't... Time is not relevant to how, like, we perceive time. So, do you know what I mean?
No. They judge by the moonlight, right?
Why not? No, but, like, I don't know how to explain it. I explained it really well on our podcast one time.
Yeah.
About, like, how, like, yeah, no, so, like, time...
It's not annual, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know... Because the question is, it says it's, like, an annual or...
Yeah,
like,
once a year.
Once a year. Yeah. But you're saying the years is different.
Different. It's a different calendar. Years?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're not going on the
Because current. Jellicle Cats are very pretentious. Like, we know how great we are. Oh. And we see the audience, and the audience is like, they're in our space, and it's like, okay, well, we're going to tell you how great we are, and you're not going to catch up anytime soon because you're not smart. That's basically the premise. Mm. And we're going to dance our asses off and look cute and preen and all that stuff. So if we really want to get technical, like, Monkey Strap is telling, like, Jellicle Cats meet once a year. That's once a year for y'all. But once a year for us is, like, probably, like, once every 5 seconds, you know, or whatever.
Lot of orgies.
Yeah, they're cats.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the junkyard, everybody.
That is I had not thought about that detail of cerebral. Is that okay? It's you're living a different life. That's why you get 9 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wait. Hold on. If the Heaviside Lair take away one of the 9 lives, they only get to go 9 times.
Theoretically, that is the.
I don't think the 9 lives thing applies to cats.
So the 2016 Gus said that he thought his 9 lives were over, and that's why he couldn't be picked, because he wouldn't be able to be reincarnated. There's also a belief, is it truly are they dying? Or is the Heaviside Lair just, you know, a little spot in the Winter Garden Theater, you know, that's just up in the attic?
There's that line where they say, it might just be a spot.
Yeah, it just might be theater. In the attic in the Winter Garden Theater.
Didn't make
and
sense
they go up there and they hang out.
Yeah, I love the idea of Hugh Jackman just wandering around and then accidentally stumbling into the Heaviside Lair.
There are
what's this, huh?
Hundreds of prison cells like, up there. All right, I want to now pivot, because I think besides Zach, you got I think your choice, but you all got randomly selected choices. I want to hear who you would actually pick if you're old Deuteronomy picking.
Skimbleshanks for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Give your reason.
Well, if you hear the music, at the very top of Act Two, it's very specific, where old Deuteronomy is singing. The moments of happiness. I had to sing it real quick. The moments of happiness, and there's a Skimbleshanks motif that kind of implicates, like, oh, like, that could be him. That could be Skimbleshanks. I mean, I did the show 8 times a week, and I always heard that, and that always made me think, like, oh, that could be a sort of signal being like, oh, could be Skimbleshanks. And he's so, like, he's very, like, fatherly too. I feel like he, like, takes over that sort of position when old Deuteronomy is not around, where he's, like, taking care of, like, all the rest of the kittens and, like, I mean, at least for the dynamic between Skimbleshanks and Tugger, like, he's my uncle and I just like to mess around with him. But he definitely has that sort of, like, maturity where, like, he can take care of everyone, but he can also hold his own. And I don't know, like, and his song is, like, really great. I love his song so much. It's very Christmassy.
So if you're Skimble, are you angry every year that this happens? That
if
you,
I was Skimble?
Yeah, that you...
Am
that
I
you
angry? Get,
yeah, you're angry that all of a sudden this, you know, this cat that left you all comes back and takes your time to shine away?
I probably would. Chris definitely did that.
Yeah.
Every night he was like, what the hell?
Yeah. Zach, are you sticking with Jenny?
I'm sticking with Jenny, but I do like the railway cat. I like that he has a job. That stands for something in my eyes.
Jenny has a job, right? And takes care of the mice.
Jenny, she has a job to a point. She is more of a
Night work is the same as any other job.
It is, but she's training animals. It seems more like if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Whereas Skimbleshanks is really clocking in, clocking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna stick with Jenny.
All right. Jesse?
Bust for Jones. Death to capitalism.
Not skin and bones.
He's taking up everything. He's ruining the entire Jellicle community.
He's drinking too much of the milk.
Oh, yeah, too much.
Love it. Love it.
I have to pick Grisabella because...
I thought we were going to get through this whole thing without anybody saying
it. No, the heavy side layer is not a reward. It is a mercy killing. So Grisabella is the only one who deserves that.
Old Deuteronomy. That's the first thing you said when we shook hands. You said that to me and you whispered it.
Okay. Gris deserved to die.
Ooh, you got to chill on that one.
Mercy. It's a mercy kill.
Okay, Kevorkian over here.
Yeah, that's it. Tell me more here.
Well, I mean, the reason none of the other ones are picked, and they're better choices if it was a reward, but Grisabella is the only one who is so sad that she has to die. You know?
You could have argued
that's the show, though. That's the show.
You could have argued that with Gus as well.
Gus is not sad at the end of his song. He's very happy and performing.
Damn it.
Skimble Shanks, the railway cat.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's the Jellicle way.
They're all monsters.
You pulled this, and it's just like you just embraced Old Deuteronomy here when you got that, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Put the coat on. I got skinned.
Okay, who is the least worthy?
Who are the two that are always running around together?
Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser?
Yeah.
Them?
I mean, they team up with the Cavity, right? I mean...
That's none of my business. But I don't know. I think they got each other. They don't need to separate.
That's also the twins. There's the twins.
Oh.
Tantamile and Corkapet?
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Yeah.
Old Dude needs them, but we don't really need them. That's my... They could go.
They're the ones that usually get cut when there's not enough cats anyway, so it feels right.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue the Rumpus Cat.
The Rumpus Cat's not real.
He's not worthy. Real or not, he's not worthy. That superhero outfit? No.
Hey, fair enough. That's Gus, though, isn't it?
That doesn't matter.
It's Gus in a character.
I mean, if the movie can go and take Growlithe, which is also a character, and then make him, like... a real character for some reason, Rumpus Cat.
The movie made some choices.
What?
Yeah.
The movie's great. It's a one-to-one adaptation.
Well, we're going to get there in a second.
Okay.
I don't know how anyone could pick Buster for Jones.
Okay.
You got to get him out of the... You got to get him out of here.
Yeah, other than like an actual like revenge killing.
It's like, oh my God, our resources.
True, yeah.
Okay, let's go into the movie. Christmas.
It's Christmas Eve. 2019. By myself in the theater, yes.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was, everyone left. Like, there was like four people in the theater, and they left like midway through, and it was just me.
Just you.
I was just sitting there. Private screening of Cats.
The opposite of a rowdy screening.
Yeah, yeah, and it was before the improvements to the I saw the original.
You saw the hand and the all the other...
The hand cut.
Yeah,
and
the hand cut.
The other cut.
The other guy, there's just like a boom mic and an actor just standing in the middle of the Jellicle tribe
at one point. Finish the movie and they put it in my theater. Yeah.
And you got to see it by yourself?
I got to see it all by myself. That's, nobody wanted to see it with me.
That's good. Where were you, Jesse?
I am in we live in different states, so I saw it the night it opened. That was the first time I saw it, and I was a little too drunk.
You went to see it four times.
I saw it twice, for the podcast, and I was a little too drunk, so I was like, did I see what I saw? So I went back the next day, and I was like, it's bone sober. Yeah, I saw what I saw. And once again, started with like a half full audience. By the time midpoint hit, the audience was empty.
Which viewing did you like better?
The second one, only because there was one other person in the audience. And then when Jennifer Hudson sang Memory and got to the touch me part, he stood up, clapped, and then left.
And then left. So, they're like, I don't need to know that cats aren't dogs. I'm out of here. Yeah.
I brought four other people that stuck through to their credit to the end.
I love it. They didn't get to see the fourth wall be broken at the end there.
And you feel like you're trapped. Yeah. In the movie specifically, you feel like you're trapped.
Zach, have you seen it?
I have. I saw it very late. I saw it last year on a plane.
It's a good viewing spot for
that. Yeah, I was like, oh, I never just got around to it. So I double featured that and The Father with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, no.
Which was like two bad choices, both for different reasons. Don't watch The Father on a plane. I had to like go to the bathroom after and sort of calm myself down. Yeah. And then I watched Cats and had to calm myself down for different reasons. Just watch Pitch Perfect 3 or something.
I watched it 2 weeks before I started rehearsals because I wanted to get a little bit of insight. The first time that I had heard that it was coming out, like I was doing a production out on Long Island somewhere, and I heard
Who
that.
Are you?
Sorry.
Who were you in the
show? Mm-hmm. Oh, you just got here. I played Rum Tum Tugger.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. I played Tugger in the last national tour, so when I heard about it, I was like, why? Because I, from the image itself, I was already like, I don't know how I feel about this. But then I watched it just to like, you know, just watch it. And then after seeing it, I was like, I really hope we're not going for this sort of vibe with the show. And then ultimately, like, of course we weren't, because we were doing the revival version back in 2016.
How did the rest of your cast feel about the movie?
Well, we had a press team to tell us to not talk about the movie. Yeah. And if we were asked about the movie, we had to say, while the movie is a great take on what Cats is, we prefer you see it live. We could not, like...
couldn't say, don't watch the movie?
We couldn't shit on it, basically. we couldn't.
I can't imagine you all just being in there and being like, hold on, here's my talking points. The movie is... Come see it live. Like, you have to, like, pull out your word-for-word quote.
No, like, there are moments where, like, I had to, like, write it down because, like, I would get, like, you know, phone calls that, like, you know, for, like, articles for, like, the theaters and all that stuff, and I would just be like, okay, I gotta be... The movie is really great, but we really prefer you see the show. When really I was like, it's trash.
So you're saying people on press tours don't always tell the truth?
The movie was...
My mind is blown.
I will say that as far as the score is concerned, they did have like a more modern twist to it. So I did enjoy that because there are like there's only two versions of like the orchestration of Catch, which is like the London version and in 81 and the Broadway cast recording in 83, both of which had very different sounds back then. And even in the 1998 staged film version of it, Andrew Lloyd Webber was still like trying to make it as big as possible. Like I think he had like almost like nearly 100 piece orchestra just for the 98 version. So like he's, you know him, he's just always trying to go bigger and
love it.
Bigger.
Zach, I'm still thinking, did you have any weird reactions on the plane? Because I watched the 98 movie on a plane, and I got some looks, for sure.
You mean like people like watching?
Yeah, watching you watch Cats.
No. Yeah. Every person on the plane, besides me, was watching Jungle Cruise. It was as if the choices were The Father and Jungle Cruise, and somehow Cats at one point. So I think they were very interested in The Rock's little hat, and they weren't really paying attention to me.
Yeah, you got off. Yeah. I'm glad you
okay,
got off.
Okay, King of Switzerland over here. A little thing called Spirit, thank you. Yeah.
I'm surprised the TV worked.
Oh, it worked.
They had a bathroom?
All right. I want to open up. Is there any questions from the crowd here about Cats? You all know my point of view on it, but love to hear. Open it up for a few minutes before we wrap up.
Come on, guys. Cats.
Somebody's got an opinion.
He is the Rum Tum Tugger. Come on.
I do have something to say. I know it's based on the T.S. Eliot poems, whatever, and like a lot of people feel like they see cats and it's like, this is nonsense. But I kind of feel like it's actually genius.
It's a hot take.
Do you think it's nonsense or genius? And that's all I want to know from all of y'all.
Ooh. What's your talking points from press?
It's quite genius.
No. In my opinion, it actually is.
I really think so.
Because it doesn't. It's just open for interpretation, which there are not a lot of musicals like that.
I think people can't handle that. They're like.
No. Yeah. I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber at the time was pushing the envelope a lot, especially with like the Bible musicals, the Jesus Christ Superstar, yeah. Joseph, and all that stuff, and Cats. I'm sure people were like, okay, now he's going crazy with just dancing cats. What's this? But no, there's actually something very magical, dare I say, angelical about it, about like how you can like. I think that's what's really great about this panel and this podcast, really, Mike, is that, like, you can have your opinion as to, like, who you think is actually worthy of going to the Heaviside Lair. And I know for me, when working in the show, I tried to develop different points of views all the time whenever I would interact with a different cat, whether it be Mongo Jerry or Monkey Strap or Corcopat. I knew that I knew that Tugger was never going to be a choice. Chrissy Cartwright, who had worked with cats like from the very beginning, she told me straight up, he's not a contender. So I was like, all right, great. So I'm just here to live life and party all the time. But you know, I'm sure that there are other people out there that could argue that like, oh yeah, no, he could be a contender. I tried fighting for him for like 5 minutes, but you know, I really do think that it's really great in its own way because you can have your own thoughts and opinions about it and which direction you want to go. It's like a choose your own adventure, a musical sort of deal.
The genius of it is that it was a world that was built, and there's probably somebody that relates to everybody. And so that's kind of where you can see a little bit of yourself in probably one of the characters or a couple of them. The hard part about it is that it's really hard to, at that point, follow it. Because there's not, it's because you're in a world, you're not really getting the structure. And that's where, as I've now have 80 episodes of this, there's stuff I didn't know in the first 10 that I still, like, I didn't know the Ball's an Orgy. I didn't know some of these, like, things that everyone's like, oh, yeah, this is universal truth of cats. And I'm like, I did not pick that up when I saw it in 2016. And I think that is hard for certain audience members. If you are a, like, I'm a sitcom fan. It is not a sitcom. It is not a neat and tidy story through and through. But it's a world you get entered into. And it's from the moment you walk into the theater because you see the stage. It's like, you know, there's not a curtain. It's like you're in the junkyard from the minute you go. And so I think that's what's pretty interesting about it.
Anything that's made that much money is genius.
Yeah, it's been around for 41 years. We were just talking, it's in Vienna right now. It's on a Royal Caribbean cruise. It's touring internationally. It toured in Southeast Asia. It's got, you know, the Broadway revival. Like, it is running constantly. There's a youth production in Canada going on right now for 18 and unders that someone just told me about. Because that's what my life has turned into, by the way. but it runs constantly. And so, to your point, it's made a lot of money, but it's because it's relatable content for almost everybody.
And it will outlive all of us. Yeah. Any one of us in this room, cats will survive beyond it.
Exactly.
Also, the music. I mean, the music itself is just so flourishing. Like, even when you just hear, ba-na-na, like, come on. I just got chills doing that. I don't know if they did that for the Gillian Lynn version, but like in the beginning of the overture, when it has that big flourish, that ba na na, and they have this light ring that comes up, and it's just so, oh man, I watch it from the corner every night doing the show, and seeing that, like, that's the magic. That is the magic that Cats has to offer. It's not only, you know, us jumping cats, but like the music itself. It makes you feel shit, you know? So there's that.
Love it. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you, panelists, for having an incredible debate and discussion. All right. And everyone, enjoy the rest of your Broadway Con.
Thank you.
I hope you had a blast hearing the live episode from Broadway Con. So thank you for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Wrong Cat Died, and check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.